Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, if you're on your holidays and you don't speak the language, should you learn a bit of it? Even a few words? Even if the people there already speak English? The travel writer Joan Scales is a big fan of this afternoon, Joan.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me on the show.
Now, some people listening might say, I'm going over to these countries, I'm spending money, I'm going to give tips in restaurants, and they all speak English anyway. Why should I bother?
Well, I think if you make an effort, the return you get from making an effort is always much better than you expect. You get a better experience. Just that little effort to be able to say hello, goodbye, thank you, please, order your favourite foods in the language that you're in, of the country that you're in. It really does go a long way. I was in Rome myself recently, and I took to Duolingo to check out a few things, particularly for eating out. And I must say, we had a great experience. Wait staff were lovely to us. And they all made an effort to talk to us in English or mix of Italian and English, whatever way. But we've had a great experience. And yet a friend who went to Italy a few weeks after me complained bitterly. He said the wait staff were terrible to him. He never got the right thing. His orders were always wrong. And he thought they were very aloof. And I thought, well, there you are. Making a little bit of an effort really goes a long way.
Yeah. I suppose some people think that you're also running the risk of butchering their language by using a phrase in it.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, yes. Because sometimes we pronounce things how they look, and that's not necessarily how they're pronounced. And a classic example of this is Paris. I always say Paris is a wonderful city, absolutely fabulous city. But my God, are the waitstaff snooty? And are they protective of their language? So if you say a croissant, they're not going to look at you. You know, they might sniff and walk away.
Mm.
They want you to say croissant and say it right. They're very protective about their language. And but now, if you go to the south of France, it's completely different. Because I find in the south of France, they're so friendly. Everybody is absolutely lovely and really makes an effort, you know, to make you feel welcome. And I think maybe sometimes that's maybe an Italian influence down the south of France, because, of course, it was Italian for a long time down there as well. But really, if you try and make some effort, and we're lucky nowadays because we have a lot of tools that we can use to help us. And there are things like I mentioned, Duolingo. Duolingo's great to get you started on a language. There's also Google Translate. A friend of mine is actually having a relationship with an Italian man at the moment through Google Translate. They're having great fun.
And how's that going?
To each other. They're still talking to each other.
Okay.
So obviously it's going well. There's also another one then. YouTube is brilliant. There's great stuff on YouTube. If you want to learn a language or you want to learn how to pronounce things, you can see it on a video on YouTube. That's really helpful. And then there's a new website using, of course, the buzzword AI, you know, using artificial intelligence. It's called JumpSpeak. And this is a website where you can learn a new language by actually speaking, and someone will speak back to you. So because always when you're trying to learn a language, the hardest part is speaking it. You could know all your grammar and all your pronouns and all your whatever you need to know, but actually to speak it. And a lot of times people are kind of shy to speak a language. So JumpSpeak is there to help you. You will actually be talking to someone who will talk back to you.
Yeah.
And so that's a good way.
Yeah. But whatever about saying hello, goodbye and thank you in, you know, whatever the local language is. Do you really need to learn dishes in restaurants? Because often there's regional variations or different pronunciations of those phrases and all that kind of stuff. And half the time, if it's not an English language menu, you're trying to translate it first to figure out you're ordering something.
Figure out what. Well, sometimes. Well, I think that's really relevant as well, if people are fussy about their food, you know, or if you have allergies or, you know, you don't eat certain things. I mean, I think it certainly helps then to know what you're asking for. Of course, a lot of the times we just point.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Do that in Irish restaurants as well, especially ordering wine. I just go with that one.
That one would do, yeah, just look at the price. But, you know, when you're on places like the Costa del Sol and the Greek islands and stuff, oftentimes they have pictures in the menus of what the food looks like. So that's always helpful as well, so you can see what you're ordering. They have a display. You know, I've seen that in Greece where they put out a display of what the dishes look like. But it just helps. It's really about having a language, a few words. It's just a kind of a key, you know, to a new adventure. And maybe it could change your journey if you have that interaction with someone, that they will smile back at you and treat you maybe a little bit differently because you made an effort.
Yeah.
Nobody expects you to be word perfect, you know, but if you make a little effort, you do get a response.
Yeah, I suppose I'm mindful of the fact that so many places in Europe now having protests over tourists, and that, you know, there's a, not hostility, but perhaps an irritation with the amounts that are arriving in and ruin the, and then you kind of rock up and say, can I have an espresso, please?
Well, now,
that kind of thing.
Yes, I know that they can be annoying, but I think probably the most annoying thing that people do, and I don't think Irish people really are guilty of this, but other nationalities are, we won't say who, shouting. There's nothing worse than someone shouting at wait staff. The wait staff don't understand what they're asking. And so instead of trying to explain, they shout. And we've all seen those people, particularly in restaurants. Shout. You think that if they shout louder, that'll make them understood. Now, that to me is the height of ignorance.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah. I remember once being in a restaurant in France and hearing an English man say, pointing at the waiter and saying, imagine that, grown man, he can't speak a word of English. And we were in France.
Oh, I know. Well, the one consolation I will give everybody is, and I put it down to Erasmus. Across the continent, young people nowadays have at least two languages, and usually one of them is English. And so I do find in my travels that younger people definitely will have English, or they'll have a certain amount of English, which is great when you're travelling. And so I'd say that really the Erasmus has really helped that, because all our kids have been travelling all around Europe for the last, I don't know how long it's gone, maybe 35 years or something. But that really has made a difference as well, I notice.
Yeah. Okay. So the message is we should try a few words of the local language.
Yeah, except, make an effort.
Except for Paris, where they just look down their nose at you anyway.
Yeah. You won't get it right anyway from them.
Joan Scales is a travel writer. Joan, thanks a million.
Thanks, Sean.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.